हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Page 76. Chapter 69. Shloka Anusharanam. Verses 1 to 12. Description of Dwarka and its palaces. 13 to 18. Krishna welcomes Narada. 19 to 36. Krishna the perfect actor and teacher. 37 to 45. Narada Muni happily departs. Verses 1 to 12. Description of Dwarka and its palaces. Srila Sukadev Goswami said, hearing that Lord Krishna had killed Narakasura and had alone married many brides, Narada Muni desired to see the Lord in this situation. He thought, it is quite amazing that in a single body, Lord Krishna simultaneously married 16,000 women, each in a separate palace. Thus the sage of the demigods eagerly went to Dwarka. Srila Jiva Goswami comments to verse 2 in Bhagavat Sandarbha Anucheda 42, entitled, One Form Expands in Many Places. Thus the all-powerful nature of the Lord is established, since He contains everything in His medium-sized form as Krishna. And because He shows that He is all-pervading, His power is established. So, in other words, Krishna's size, medium size means the right size, the proper, the best size. Because bigger than, if you go, you know, how you say, above medium, you say that's big, and you go below medium, you say that's small. Right? So, this means that the size He is, that's the perfect size. This perfect proportion.
Right?
Yes.
I heard somewhere that the size of Krishna was 4 meters.
Means for that time. Means yes. Whatever it is. Now, 4, I don't know about. Yeah, something like that. But for this age, the Prabhupada said he's 5 foot 10.
Means
5 foot 10, means 70 inches.
178.
Okay. So if you're taller than that, you're big, and if you're smaller than that, you're small. So, like that. So that's the perfect size.
But it was 5,000 years ago.
No, he's saying for now. That's why he said the deities here, Radha Madhava, should be made to that size. Radharani's 5'8", Krishna's 5'10". So that would be the proportion for now. Then in the previous age, then that much, whatever they are, bigger, that's what then it would be.
Okay. I was discussing some points about a Siddhanta with an Islamic scholar, and he said that in their Quran, it is mentioned that this Adam and Eve, they were 85 feet tall.
Yeah, you have to go back a while.
Yeah. So even that scripture also has this concept that the ages and the heights of the people.
Yeah, no, you have. Well, it's just like in the Old Testament, in the Bible, then they're talking about the first people that, you know, are living for 600 years and 900 years, and like different ones have all it gives the age, and they're all like that, hundreds and hundreds of years. So it's because it's the end of the, you know, they were probably born in Dwapara and then they lived into Kali, but then, you know, that much. So okay. And because he shows that he is all-pervading, his power is established. So, means he has a particular size, but at the same time he's unlimited in his forms. At the same time he's the medium size. That's the potency of the Lord, that he can do both. He is both. That's the whole thing. It's not that he's that. That's just the way he is. Oh, how amazing. Etad Bata Chiram. Krishna alone married 16,000 women. How is this amazing? He married them in all their 16,000 palaces. It's not that he went through, you know, so many marriages or married them all in a football stadium with, what's his name, Reverend Moon or something, you know, like that. He's just, you know, because 16,000, he did 25,000. 16,000, that's a, you know, it's a regular weekend, right? So, but no, he married each one of them in their own palace at the same time, right? Because there's a good muhurta, so he married them all at once. Otherwise, then what would happen if he didn't marry them all at once? Yeah, someone would be first, or someone would say, my muhurta was better than your muhurta. You know, yeah, so you want to avoid all that. One muhurta, and he married them all. So how did he do that? In separate palaces, that's what he's going to see. That's how it's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Even the same thing, like, we have a big tradition in South India, which is called Thiruvannamdal. And the deity's name is Nitya Kalyana Thiruvan. Nitya means eternal, Kalyana means marriage, and Thiruvan means Lord. So the Lord will eternally get married. Now this particular deity is Varaha Lakshmi, and he gets married every day because a Brahmana who had 365 daughters. All wanted to get married to the Lord. So he says, okay, every day. So every day there's a marriage procession going on all the year. So,
okay.
But you're Krishna Maharaj Sanjay, you see.
Yes. That's
a great thing.
Yeah. No, but marrying a whole bunch of girls is standard. Saying about there's a temple in South India, a Varaha Dev temple, and that there was a Brahmin who had 365 daughters and he wanted to marry them to the Lord, so he said he would agree that he married them one every day. Okay. And so in that way, then he's called that the Nitya
Kalyana Perimor.
Nitya Kalyana Perimor. That he is eternally getting married. So every day there's a marriage.
Actually, many devotees and non-devotees flock to this temple because they are not getting married or they have face problems. They go to him and then they get
married. Yeah. He was present in each palace and performed the marriage rites. It is not impossible to be present in each house by going to one house after the other. But he was simultaneously present in each house. So a great yogi can manifest many bodies also, at once also, and accomplish his feat. What is so astonishing? Then the answer, great yogis whom you respect do this. He did this with a single body. Did he spread out one body with many hands and feet? No. He was, you know, like that. According to Uddhava's words, each form was exactly like the other forms. The idea of one form extending itself is rejected by use of the word pritak, separate. In the verse spoken by Narad, right, so it wasn't just, yeah. Krishna was visible with one body of a human in each of the palaces separately and completely. Thus, since one body spread simultaneously in many palaces with all types of activities, it was most astonishing. This is the explanation of the verse. In the prose section of 5th Canto, describing the form of the Lord as ruler of the planet, Srimad Bhagavatam 5:20-40, Sridhar Swami gives a similar explanation. The Lord remains in a complete form, samantat, with what his one form, since he is master of the greatest powers, Mahavibhuti Patihi, simultaneously appearing in each palace, Tavad Rupa Dharaha. He married all the princesses. He did not have separate forms like Narayan, it is said. Because right? Separate forms of Narayan means is that you have the 24 forms of Narayana, but then they have different moods. Here is what one mood. So it's him who's expanded and the same as the original form, it is called Prakash. Lagu Bhagavatam 1:21. This is different from appearance of different forms in many places, Narada speaks. Right, so it wasn't different forms that had different moods. It was one form, you know, that was expanded in all these places with one mood. So it was the same mood in all the places. Śrīla Viṣṇunātha Chakravarti Thakura adds that he married with one body at one time each of the 16,000 queens in separate courtyards of separate houses, surrounded by separate walls, was indeed astonishing. Saubari and others, by expanding as Kaya Vyuha, enjoyed with many women at once with different bodies, but not with one body alone. For this reason, Narada went to Dwarka. Right, so they create these different bodies, but they're not able to, like you said. It's different from what Krishna did. The yogi can't do what Krishna's done. Srila Sanatana Goswami points out, Sukadeva describes Dwarka in 5 verses in order to nourish the story. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, the city was filled with the sounds of birds and bees flying about the parks and pleasure gardens, while its lakes, crowded with blooming Indivara, Amboja, Kahlara, Kamuda, and Utpala lotuses, resounded with the calls of swans and cranes. Dwarka boasted 900,000 royal palaces, all constructed with crystal and silver, and splendorously decorated with huge emeralds. Inside these palaces, the furnishings were bedecked with gold and jewels. Traffic moves along a well-laid-out system of boulevards, roads, intersections, and marketplaces. And many assembly houses and temples of demigods graced the charming city. The roads, courtyards, commercial streets, and residential patios were all sprinkled with water and shaded from the sun's heat by banners waving from flagpoles. Right, so it means it was very well decorated and very nicely cleansed. I don't know if they still have it, but I remember at least in Madras, that the frontage of your place, your house, out to the middle of the street, that's what you had to keep clean. So every morning, people would go out, they would sweep that, and then they sprinkle water, sweep, and then they do a rangoli out there in front of their gate. So that way, then both sides of the street, the whole street gets clean. You don't have to have other people, you don't have to have the bungies and people coming in. So you keep that clean. They keep the public areas clean. But these and there, then that's done. So you see here is the people would keep everything very clean and tidy and decorated and all the flags and everything like that. So it says it was shaded from the sun by so many banners waving. So that means there has to be a lot of banners to create enough shade light. Yeah, so it's not, we're not talking about those little flags that you stick in your drink or something. We're talking about, you know, properly sized flags. So.
He said he has that 900,000 royal palaces. It means that these palaces belong to which person?
It means 16,108, they were, yes, Krishnas.
Yes, yes.
But that means the others were all the other great Kshatriyas, you know, so Ugrasena, Vasudev, you know, all the great personalities they would have all had. So these were all the palaces that they had. Then you had the smaller residentials and things like that. The palaces where the Kshatriyas were living, that would be that much. So it was, you know, 900,000, a lot of palaces. You know, this is the true city of palaces.
Maharaj, what is a banner and some kind of metaphysical?
What is a banner?
Yeah.
Banner is a specific kind of it's
flag.
A flag, but whether it's triangular or whether it's rectangular, like that, then depending on that, that gives the name of why it's called a banner, unless they're just using a generic. But otherwise, according to Hari Bhakti Vilasa, you have different kinds. When you're doing the yajna, you have different shapes. And they have different names, so. But the point is there were a lot of flags.
And auspicious or like metaphysically?
They're auspicious. They create nice. They look nice. They flutter in the wind. They're colorful. You know, they're nice. You're out in Dwarka. You're up. You're going to have a breeze, right? Because there's always a nice breeze down the ocean, right? So their banners will all fly nicely. You don't have to worry. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, being inquisitive as to how Krishna was managing his household affairs with so many wives, Narada desired to see these pastimes and so set out to visit Krishna's different homes. When Narada arrived in Dwarka, he saw that the gardens and parks were full of various flowers of different colors and orchards that were overloaded with a variety of fruits. Beautiful birds were chirping and peacocks were delightfully crowing. There were tanks and ponds full of blue and red lotus flowers, and some of these sites were filled with varieties of lilies. The lakes were full of nice swans and cranes, whose voices resounded everywhere, right? Because they make a nice sound and all that. So we see is, it means I haven't seen it so much anywhere else, but like in England, in some of the more aristocratic parks and stuff like that, nice and then they had swans and that, they lived there. So, you know, and people just don't, you know, bother them and that. It's they leave them alone. So you have this aspect that you have so much greenery in the city, so many nice ponds and lakes and trees and greenery and decorations, that the whole thing is beautiful and full of all kinds of nice wildlife and everything like that. So it's a very, very nice place. It's not like the modern cement jungle that you have. Building, then the stairs, then the cement sidewalk, then the drain and the street, then the, you know, the curb, and then the sidewalk, and then the stairs, and then the building, and nothing else. Right? You know, so that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about that it's so nicely laid out, and it's so beautiful and green. And in the city, there were as many as 900,000 great palaces built of first-class marble, with gates and doors made of silver. The posts of the houses and palaces were bedecked with jewels such as touchstones, sapphires, and emeralds. And the floors gave off a beautiful luster. The highways, lanes, streets, crossings, and marketplaces were all beautifully decorated. Right, so you're going to have main roads that are going to have the, you know, they'll be like boulevards that'll be very broad and then with places down the middle. Then you'll have ones that are, you know, smaller than that. Then you'll have ones that are just a street, no boulevard. Then you have the little lanes where, you know, just, so it's all just where, depending upon where it is, what it's doing, who's living there. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. The design was done by
Vishwakarma. So it would be according to the Vastu. So Vastu mentions what is the width of every kind of road. Right? So then I would expect that their main roads would be the full width, which is the width for the military. So you'd have the central palaces, out from that would go those roads, and then you'd start having the side roads and everything like that. So they're very wide, because you have to be able to move armies down there. Right? So they're not going to have them down a little gully or something like that. You know, that's not... The whole city was full of residential homes, assembly houses, and temples, all of different architectural beauty. All of this made Dwarka a glowing city. The big avenues, crossings, lanes, and streets, and also the thresholds of every residential house were very clean. On both sides of every path, there were bushes, and at regular intervals, there were large trees that shaded the avenues so that sunshine would not bother the passerby. Srila Jiva Goswami points out that the next six verses describe the palaces of the queens, right? So when you're going to discuss something, then you describe the environment in which it is. So then how nicely decorated and laid out is Dwarka, now you'll describe the palaces itself, then you'll describe what happens in the palace. Because it just adds to the thing. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's just like we said, okay, what did you have for dinner? Yeah, we had this, you know. Okay, that's nice. But then if you said, yeah, we went to, you know, this place, this part of the town, and this thing, and right on overlooking the park, and that, and then we had the window, you know, next to the window, and this, and then it was all this, and all the evenings, and the music, then you say, what is it? And then it just had so much more, right? Yeah, so that's the idea. Srila Jiva Goswami points out, Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, in the city of Dwarka was a beautiful private quarter worshipped by the planetary rulers. This district where the demigod Vishwakarma had shown all his divine skill was a residential area of Lord Hari, and thus it was gorgeously decorated by 16,000 palaces of Lord Krishna's queen. So that would be right in the center. Because right? Otherwise the city is divided into quarters. And so, but where the deity is, or the king, they're right in the center. and all these quarters are around. Right? So this is that district. Right? And Narad Muni entered one of these immense palaces. Srila Jiva Goswami comments. The palace was endowed with all beauty and wealth, Srimat. In this area, Vishwakarma's extraordinary sva architectural skill was continually revealed. So, in other words, the whole place is so beautiful by Vishwakarma's arrangement. But now, this quarter, or this district, then is even more. He did his, you know, the most special things and most best in combinations and others. You know, the others will be really good, but this will be even better. These 16,000 palaces were more attractive than the buildings previously described, being completely ornamented. Swam Alankritam. Narada entered a great palace. The oldest and best, Mahat, belonged to Rukmini. The phrase Hare, 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 Sva, Kaushalam, Yatra, Tvashtra, Kartsnyena, Darshitam can also mean the palaces were manifested by Vishwakarma through the instructions of the Lord, not by his own powers. So the Lord instructed him how to do these palaces. Because we have to remember is the original this original science of Vastu comes from Krishna. And so then Krishna would be the most. So Vishwakarma is the best in the universe, but Krishna is better than him. Right? And so then when Krishna instructs, then he'll come up with so many wonderful things. So that'll be that much more special. Because it's his palace, so therefore it will manifest all the you know, taste that he has for this. Right? And then naturally it'll have some certain flavors in that each queen will have her own uniqueness. Because otherwise if they're all exactly the same, then, you know, you might make the mistake you're in San Francisco and not in Dwarka. But they're all uniquely special. But all according to Vastu. So that's the thing. You can get these unlimited aspects out of this if you understand the system. So, have you ever noticed that those architects who, you know, break all the rules and do their own thing and do something unique and different than no one's ever done before, all their buildings look exactly the same? Yeah. So that's the problem. So here you actually have, you follow the rules, then you can get variety. And when you don't follow the rules, you'll follow the modes, and at a certain time, they'll all do, you know, Bauhaus or something. You know, they all look the same.
Which part of the structure describes
the Silpa. So that tells how to build cities, how to build houses, how to build. So yeah, Srila Sukadeva Goswami, so then he could do this wonderful thing at the same time, you know, he could be very happy doing this to please Krishna. At the same time, he's not proud because the potency to do it's coming from Krishna. But at the same time, it's an area of his interest so he can take part, so he'll be very, you know, inspired. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued. Supporting the palace were coral pillars decoratively inlaid with Vaidurya gems. So it's not enough that the column is made out of solid gemstone, but they're inlaid with other gemstones. Right? Sapphires bedecked the walls, and the floors glowed with perpetual brilliance. Right? So now, you know, and we think we're doing good if we get a granite polish on our floor, right? Like that, yeah. I'll take the perpetual brilliance polish. Yeah. Oh, that'll cost you. In that palace, Tvashta had arranged canopies with hanging strands of pearls. There were also seats and beds fashioned of ivory and precious jewels. So you have canopies. So you'll have the columns themselves, the tops of the columns, then where they meet the ceiling and all that. All that's ornamented, but generally the roof itself is generally flat. Right? You can see in the old palaces. So then, if you look at old houses, you'll see that in the corners of those places, there's big rings. Those are for hanging canopies. If you ever wondered what those were for. If you ever go into the old palaces and that, you'll see the rings there. That's for canopies. You can also, depending on where they're placed, they can put julons there, they can hang they can do all kinds of things with them. That's why they're there. But they would hang canopies. So you have these nice colorful things, and then you have, you know, with pearls, you know, decorating the edges. So it becomes a very wonderful aspect. So you have the beauty of the pukka, but at the same time as you have the niceness of the cloth there, so it adds in a dimension that the that is a different texture, a different kind of colors, different patterns, and also is changeable. Well, the walls in that way they're made, that's it. Right? So you always have to remember that. The way you make your walls, that's the way they're going to be. Right? So then this way, and then besides that, because when you're dealing in these pukka environments, then you have the aspect of echoing. Like now, how they build them and all the ornaments, that'll cut down a lot of that. But by hanging these canopies, then that kills the sound even more. So it makes it much more comfortable and pleasant. So as we say, is how they would do the floors and everything, and how they do the tops. So just the walls and outsides, you would see all that kind of decoration. Yes.
Usually, according to Vastu, it should be square or rectangle.
Yes. Yeah, there's a proportion.
And
you can, one by one is there, but then, you know, it has whatever it is, it has its different kind of proportions up to two. Yes.
The day before yesterday, we went to the Akshadham Temple in Delhi.
Oh, okay.
Inside the temple, it's directly viewed from the kitchen.
Yeah.
And what it's like to do.
Yeah. No, you can see these things, you know, some aspects in the Jain temples also, they do all kinds of amazing things. But whether they're using Vishwakarma or they're using Mayamaka, because they like to use a lot of illusionary aspects. It's like you have a round pathway, you know, in a colonnade, but the floors will be done actually in square. So as you walk, you know, at one place you're walking in line with it, then it starts turning. So everything starts moving and all this. So they like to do stuff like that. So I would expect that's more Mayamaka. But yeah, so before, and this is just what we have now, so you can imagine what it was then. You know.
I want to ask, the round is not recommended.
Round, you can put them outside and things like that. You might have something. Round just creates high energy, so you can't relax in them. So you can have something round, but it's either a generic area or it's like a gazebo out in the park. So you go there and, you know, some guys sit there and play music, so you don't want them to fall asleep, so that it's round, that'll help. Or you go there to have some fun and play some games and stuff like that. But your actual living quarters will always have corners. Yeah, so if you're thinking about going for the three-quarter round building, don't.
Yeah. Usually there is also very bad acoustic in town.
Yeah, you have to be careful. You know, it's just like in Prabhupada Samadhi, you know. You start a kirtan and it bounces off the roof and comes back and squashes you into the floor. You know, so, yeah.
After 10 minutes.
Huh?
After 10 minutes.
Yes. But it will be back. Yes. Yes.
The recommendation of square is the whole area, or even
it means everything. You work off of square pattern. In other words, things have corners. So your standard stuff has corners. If it doesn't have corners, but it's like an octagon, that's for Shiva, round one. So you have different things. So square is for Brahman, rectangle is for Kshatriya, oval is for Vaishya, circle is for Shudra.
What about
the
temple? Sorry. They follow the same, the
temple? Temples, because it'll be about Vishnu, so it has all the squares. It'll generally be built off the squares. But you can use all of these, but it's just a matter of what's the nicest way of doing it.
For example, if the outside is rectangle and the side is round.
But you wouldn't use round where you would live. Yeah, you might have a hall that's round. But otherwise, if you want things to be peaceful and all that, then, you know, it's like, I think there's one, I'm not sure where it was. I think Jodhpur, one of them. It's a very quite famous one. You walk in, it's round. But that's where all the stairs are and everything connects to you there. So it's like when you have roads where they cross, generally you put a circle there. So that you have a hallway like that, that's a circle where everything, all the different, you know, hallways and stairs go out of, then that's fine because it's a high energy place. But you wouldn't want to live in a round one. It's too high energy, you know. That means if you have low blood pressure, you can consider it, but otherwise I wouldn't like that. And you definitely don't want to try to put your kids to sleep there. It's not going to work, right?
This shape I'm speaking of. You said Brahman is square, Shudra is round, Vaishya is rectangle.
No, Kshatriya is a rectangle. Vaishya is
oval.
So in other words, you're going from a square, then you're elongating the square, then you round off the rectangle, you get an oval, and then you shorten it back to a square, you get a circle.
So this is going to...
Does that make sense? So you have the square, so you have the goodness, then you have the rectangle as passion.
Yeah.
Right? Then you have passion ignorance by making it into an oval. Mm-hmm. And then you have just ignorance by the circle.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that you don't use these in the different things. We're just saying is what they would use for living and stuff like that. You know, it's like we said, the gazebos and all that, they're generally for arts.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You don't use them for living, you use them for arts. So the round things you use for that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that you can't do things for the Lord, but I'm just saying the point is for us, you're a little careful of it, but you want to make things nice and all that.
What is this
Tvasta? That must mean Vishwakarma. So he must have a name for that.
A word comes.
Huh?
Tvasta, a word comes in Purusha Sukta also.
Yeah.
Who?
Purusha Sukta also, the word Tvasta comes.
Tvasta. Oh, okay.
Tvasta Vidabha Rupanet.
Oh, okay.
Tvasta is one of the priests that we discussed in Tantra Mahima.
Something, it again to do with form. Tasya Tvasta Vidada Rupameti.
Okay, yeah, but it's somehow or another connected with forms. So mm-hmm. That's the point. That's the nice thing about Sanskrit. It means what it says. There are also seats and beds fashioned of ivory and precious jewels. Right? Because then you have the framework and all that. So nowadays you get these nice things where they're fashioned like that, but it's just done with wood. And I think they call it French furniture, right? They do all the nice things and carvings like that. Before they did that with ivory. Like that. In attendance were many well-dressed maidservants bearing lockets on their necks, and also armor-clad guards with turbans, fine uniforms, and jeweled earrings. The glow of numerous jewel-studded lamps dispelled all darkness in the palace. Right, so the lamp is there, but it's jewel-studded, so then the jewels then amplify the light and make nice colors and stuff like that. Okay. My dear king, on the ornate ridges of the roof danced loudly crying peacocks, who saw the fragrant agaru incense escaping through the holes of the lattice windows and mistook it for a cloud. So that means there's a lot of, what do you call it? Lattice windows. It means all the outside ones would be lattice windows, unless they're making an open balcony. Because that would be the Vedic system, is you just have that lattice work, because then it's enclosed. You can't, from outside, you can't really see inside, but from inside, you can see outside very nicely. That makes sense.
Something like this?
Yeah, like that. But a little better quality. You know, made out of stone or marble or jewels or something. Yeah, that's the whole thing. You can't really see what's inside. But if you're inside, you can see outside very well. Yeah, so the peacocks sitting on where the roof line is, because they'll have all decorations there, because birds have to sit on something higher, so they'll sit on that part. But they'll think that they're sitting in the clouds, because there's so much agaru coming out of the windows, you know, like that. So you can understand how opulent, because I'm not sure anyone can say this, but I'm not sure, in Dubai, like good aguru, you know, shavings is like, I think, I'm not sure, some ridiculous thousands and thousands a kilo. I mean, like really ridiculous, not even just a little bit ridiculous, like obscenely ridiculous. So you can imagine how, you know, nicely these trees were there before and how much opulence is there that they're burning so much that it appears like clouds. So that means it'll make the courtyards fragrant, it'll make the, you know, all the gardens around fragrant, it's not just the house. So if you're on the, oh, but if it's lattice work, how do the mosquitoes get in? That much smoke, they're not getting in. They're not getting in.
And it's a daily affair, not festival day.
Sorry?
Burning aguru is daily.
Yes, burning is a daily. Mm-hmm. So it's burning. Mm-hmm. So they were burning aguru, we burn cow dung. You know. It does the same thing, just not quite the same thing. Mosquitoes are more refined. There's a good chance there were no mosquitoes out in the middle of the ocean. In other words, how do they get out there, right? No, but it's all salt water. So they can't use a round. So they would, you know, it doesn't mean when they go to Raivataka Mountain they're not there, but they won't bother them. Like Prabhupada said, I think, can't remember where he was.
In Kolkata.
He mentioned that they make no distinction between, you know, sadhus and not. They're not very cultured.
Mexico.
Yeah, I remember that. Mexico City. He complained. They don't make a distinction here. So it seems that other places they did, like Vrindavan, they wouldn't bother him or something. But,
so. So last year he said that there is some lamp to dispel all darkness.
Yes.
There is no electricity.
No. It means it's a ghee lamp. Like that. So you're lighting the oil lamps with a wick. So that's what maidservants do. Is, you know, they'll clean the lamps, put the oil, make wicks, take them, light them, you know, regularly check them to keep them burning at the optimum. Because there's a certain point where you have the maximum light, but there's no smoke. So if it's yellow, the whole thing, it's good. But if there's a little red tip, then that will make everything go black. So you have to be able to know how to do that and clean the wick regularly. So it's something that if you know what you're doing, it's very easy to do, but you have to regularly do it.
It's another which is connected to mosquitoes or bugs, so they go to the light.
Go to lights, but also depending on, you know, what you can put things in the oil and all that, the herbs, and that will also, you know, they won't be so inclined. I think we used to do that before. We used to put citronella in the lamp oil. Mm-hmm. And so then it would keep the, so, you know, and when the house was here, there was like over 100 wicks burning. That was standard. You know. And so morning and evening, so then they wouldn't bother us.
Compared to the contemporaries. And you find that nowadays we use electricity and then that time the lamps were being used. So what is the advantage of lamps over...
What's the advantage of lamps over electricity if they're more more advanced and at the same time as maintenance? But now when you have a culture that, you know, does so nicely with the cow and agriculture and all these things, so all these natural things are so easily available. Mm-hmm. You know, there's huge amounts of them. So from that angle, is it expensive to maintain? And we say, oh, the electricity is so much easier to maintain. It's easier to maintain until that bill comes at the end of the month. Right? And so then is it so cheap? You know, it's like, you know what I'm saying? So you have that aspect, and the other aspect is the quality of light it produces. Like what color is the light off of lamps? It's a nice yellow light. Okay, what's the latest thing that they're finding in technology, the phones and computers? What kind of light is good at night and what kind of light is not? You don't know. The yellow light. So now the things, the phones, the computers, the things that they adjust. So once it gets dark, or you set the time if you're, you know, are you saying? Yeah, if you're above the north, if you're in Rawanemi, then you have to set the timing yourself whenever you like. So then it takes out the blue color. Right? So the modern lights, all they are is that's blue color, that's what they are. So is it more advanced? People can't sleep, it's not nice. So you have this nice, pleasant kind of thing. It means, let's say, if I have a place that has, that'd be the mood. One of the words is mood lighting. Another, they use spots and other kinds of stuff like that. They don't just have tube lights there and turn it on, right? So generally, the cheaper the... Now, let's say if you're down at the local diner, there's a good chance it's tube lights, right? But if you go to more high-end places, they have more subdued lighting, more specific lighting, lighting only certain things and stuff like that. Yeah, they have candles. So you understand? So they're considered even now more sophisticated and more advanced. But so they're going back to that. And when you have in the palace, you know, 1,000 or 2,000 maid servants, is it a problem? Yeah. Otherwise, what are they going to do? I say an idle mind's a devil's workshop. You know? So you can imagine 2,000 girls at one place with nothing to do. Right? You have war. So. Does that make sense? So the idea of Kshatriya is it's peaceful in the palace, it's war outside the palace. Therefore, they're more advanced. So all these things, they're better for the eyes. You look at fire, it actually makes the eyes stronger. You know, so all these things, plus the burning of whatever it is, that has a medicinal effect. So there's all kinds of advantages. Just that it's trouble. People aren't used, they just want to come in and go like that. Excuse me. That's America. Here you go, this way. Yeah, someone told me the other day, I looked at it and go, you know, the thing's still on. He says, no, it's not America. Oh. Okay. Is that so they just want to hit the switch. That's it. They don't want to do anything else. Anything more is too much trouble, and I'm, you know, so, but this is, if you're using this, what do you need the other things for? So that's the thing. It's nice. It's pleasant. Yes.
It's interesting that you can look into the fire or candlelight, but you cannot look into the bulb.
No, because it's the wrong light. It means it's natural. It's good for the eyes. And also the fun part is this is just a side point. You know, they have dyslexia. It's hard to read sometimes. Mm-hmm. But if you have natural light, you can read. But if you have artificial light, you can't read. Mm-hmm. Right? And so from what I can see is that the dyslexic thing is a lot of times you see those who are, how you say, involved in more kind of intellectual academic areas, they tend to have it more than others. Because one of the qualities of dyslexia is you can visualize things, mm-hmm. while people who don't have it can't, mm-hmm. necessarily. Maybe they can, but not necessarily. They seem to go together. So you see in David and in letters, like let's say English, the Roman alphabet is very hard for them to read, but the Devanagari is not because it has that line connecting it. Mm-hmm. So there's all kinds of things you see just naturally are part of the culture. Mm-hmm. Right? It means you see the scholars would sit, you know, stand a lamp right next to them, and then they'd hold the leaf right there so they can see it and they can read and they have no problem. So it's natural. You know, you're working off of the palm leaves, which are, you know, a brown color. So you see, as if you want to have paper that people don't get affected by this, actually you have to use a dark cream or a light brown paper, and, you know, stuff like that. So all the modern things aren't designed for, you know, this kind of aspects of society. The Vedic already accomplishes it. So it works for everybody. Does that make sense?
For the same reason that the South Indian temples still maintain the lamps in the temple.
Yeah, yeah. They do in the temple. There's also another rite, but they maintain the lamps in the temple, but only some of them. Because if they maintained all of them, you could get darshan without them having to light the camphor lamp, and then you wouldn't get a donation. We'll stop at that point.
Yes,
they have lamps in that, but they only put a couple of lamps, so you can't really see. Because before it would be like there'd be like 30 lamps around the deity, so you could see very well. But now they only like put two or four, and so then you need to have like the camphor lamp so you can see like that, and then you give a donation for those. Yes. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, there was so much incense and fragrant gum burning that the scented fumes were coming out of the windows. The peacocks became illusioned by the fumes, mistaking them for clouds, and began dancing jubilantly, right? Because when they see clouds, they dance because it's going to rain. Right? There were many maidservants, all of whom were decorated with gold necklaces, bangles, and beautiful saris. So it's not that they were, you know, walking around in some cheapo cotton thing that had holes in it, right? No, they probably were better dressed than our top celebrities today, yeah. There were also many male servants who were nicely decorated in cloaks and turbans and jeweled earrings. Beautiful as they were, the servants were all engaged in different household duties. So even though they looked so good, they were still doing their work. It wasn't that, you know, they just sat around and cut profiles. Srila Jiva Goswami adds, taking one palace, the main elements are first described. Ahata Tvisha means that the place never got dirty. Right? That's another thing they're doing, constant cleaning. I noticed when we went and visited in Calcutta the Marble Palace. Mm. Right? It's a Mullick family. It was, you know, one of the richest of the Mullicks, you know, Prabhupada's family. Yeah. So one branch of it, then the Mullick, the Marble Palace Mullicks. So when I was there, the whole time I was there, there were people wiping the floors. And I ask about that. And they say when they get to they start at one end, when they get to the other end, they go back and start again. So that I can't remember, I think they clean the floor something like 6 times a day. The whole place is wiped that many times. And I remember also some other, cultured person in Calcutta saying that when they were, you know, a kid, you could clean the house 3 times a day and that was enough. But he says now with all the traffic in Calcutta, and this one they explained it to me, I think it was in the 90s, they said you had to clean it 6 times a day to maintain the same cleanliness. Like that. So by now it must be like, you know, 12 times. You know. Yeah, all they do is clean. You wipe the table and the next guy's wiping the table. Yeah. Oh, yeah, go around the floor, yeah, yeah. Keep the dog happy, yeah. Srila Jiva Goswami adds, it was always brilliant. The main furnishings were described, right? So it was always brilliant. So then to be brilliant means it has to be clean. So I guess in England when they say something's good, they say that's brilliant. They mean, wow, that's really clean. Yeah. Okay, the main furnishings are described. Yeah, right, just the main. They're not getting into detail, right? You know, like that. Vishwakarma produced the couches and seats. The attendants are then described. Right, so if he produced them, they must be good. Right? There were female servants and young boys dressed in fine lower and upper cloths, suvastra. The lamps were situated in the rooms. From this it is understood that Narada had arrived at night. Though he saw activities of different parts of the day, he actually went simultaneously to each palace to examine the Lord's activities. Right, because if it goes one at a time, then it could be that he's just doing the same thing, but he's there at a different time, so it looks different. So the only way is if you visited simultaneously all the palaces at once, then you can appreciate the variety of activities that the Lord does. So that means that's why also Narada Muni is described as Bhagavan, because he has so much potency, so he can expand and, like the Lord, then be in each, himself, be in each palace at once. Otherwise, then how do you appreciate?
So when it says that Subbarimuni, as a yogi, expands himself, is that that every one of his bodies has to be doing the same thing?
Basically. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so then his wives would get bored. Yeah. They don't have to fight, but it gets boring. Yeah, so don't go for yoga. I won't sell them that.
And I think it does only 8 times.
Yes. Well, 9. 8, then themselves 9. Yeah. Like that. That's the standard. Yeah, so you want to be... That's the thing, is it seems like it's something very special, but it's not actually that special. So like that. When he saw the Lord sitting on the couch, it was evening. The peacocks could see the agaru incense smoke, though it was night, because the presence of jeweled lamps. The palaces of the other queens were similar, right? So there's so much lamps, it's so brilliant, it's all shining very nicely, so they can see the smoke coming even though it's night. Verses 13 to 18. Srila Sukadeva Goswami, Krishna welcomes Narad Muni. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, in that palace, the learned Brahmana saw the Lord of the Satvatas, Sri Krishna, together with his wife, who fanned him with a gold-handled yak-tailed fan. She personally served him in this way, even though she was constantly attended by 1,000 maidservants equal to her in personal character, beauty, youth, and fine dress. Right? Because it's a matter of the environment. You don't have any jealousy. So they can all basically be the same. So it's equal. But of course, there's going to be something unique or special. It's just like how Krishna looks in Vaikuntha and all the residents of Vaikuntha, they look the same. The only way to tell the difference is the Srivatsa. So it's some minor little things, but the point is, you know, it's of equal status. So it's not that, you know, the queen is dressed so nicely and everybody else is very poorly dressed because that makes them feel that I'm special. No. It's a creating an environment of opulence. Therefore, everybody is on that same status of opulence in the way of their arrangements. It doesn't necessarily mean that the queen doesn't have that little bit extra. Does that make sense? Yeah. But, you know, you'll be able to tell the difference. But it's in the same category of quality. Does that make sense? You know, it's all high grade. You can tell the difference, but it's all high grade.
It seems that the esthetic is very important in the difference.
It's one of the things that it develops finer brain tissues. One of the things that most don't catch because they don't have the finer brain tissues. So, yeah. It's a vicious circle. So space and aesthetics are very important. Like that. It's not thought of, you know, you try to make things smaller and smaller, but space is important. Because by space, ether is one of the elements. So by there being ether, then that adds to the stability of the mind and everything like that. So you have to have the space, the ether, the pure air, therefore the lattice windows are not all cooped up. Then you have water bodies and all that. You have, you know, the earth, and that is all decorated and everything's decorated so nicely, so all the ornamentation of what's there. So it adds. It makes it a nicer place. So all these things add to the thing. We may say, oh, that's mundane, but we have to remember is the earth, water, fire, air, and ether of our bodies is made out of the mundane that we're talking about. You know, and included in that mind, intelligence, false ego, the senses, the sense objects, the sense itself, the 24 elements, they're all mundane. So the better the quality of them, then the nicer it does, if it's better in the way of how the Vedic system is. So you see, it's as close back to natural as possible. They try to, you know, as it gets away from that, it takes on. It may have an attractiveness, but it starts to create more illusion. The closer it is to original, the less illusion is there. Like you have marble, that will be less illusion, right? But now, you know, it's polished, it's carved and that, so there'll be a little bit more than that, but it's still directly stone, it's directly earth. As you transform it and make it other things, the more, you know, get the artificial things, the more it takes on that illusory aspect of attraction. Does that make sense? So you see here, everything's very natural and nice. So. Srila Sanatana Goswami comments, in that house, Narada saw Krishna with Rukmini, the mistress of the house, fanning him with a chamara, using her whole body, out of great devotion, along with thousands of maidservants. A chamara is a type of deer, whose tail was used for fanning. How could Narada suddenly enter? He was a Brahmin. This by itself allowed him to enter, right? Because others, they have to, not Brahmins can just walk in, they don't have a problem. Like that. But others then, you know, have to be there and announced and all these different things. Brahmins just walk in. Right? It's like when you hear Narad Muni comes or other Brahmins, or they just walk in. You never hear that they're announced. But when a king comes, you always hear that they're announced. Because one is announced so you know they're coming, but two is that they announce so that you know that they know who you are. You know, just like the other day, remember the devotee came and says, do you remember me? Yeah. Yes, that's always the top line. Yes. Do you remember me? No, not at all. Yeah. So, you know, so these things are there. And so you see that they're always announced. So he's a Brahmin, he can just walk in. And they can go to any part of the house while the anybody else can only stay in the public parts of the house. So that's the difference.
But they cannot go to the inner chamber.
They can, but they'll go to the outer inner chamber, because you don't go into the inner chamber, because that belongs to the women. The outer inner is the place that's the general where everybody can go, but the inside is, that's the completely private. So in other words, nobody goes where it's women's things. Other ladies don't go there. The men don't go there. Nobody goes there. Right? Does that make sense? You know, but the general, that you can go. So that's where Rukmini would be at this time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is that?
Yeah. The same principle applies for the Brahmin women.
Applies for the Brahmin?
Women.
Brahmin women. They can move around. Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course. Mm-hmm. Why not? This by itself allowed him to enter. He saw the Lord of the Yadus who appeared in their family to show his unlimited qualities, like affection for Brahmins. Or now, more than before, he was served by beautiful form and quality, since he appeared with unlimited qualities of Bhagavan. Or he was the Lord of the devotees, Satvata Patim. Thus it was proper for the Lord to allow the best of devotees and a Brahmana to enter. And he attained great bliss on seeing Narada. And so, because he's the Lord of the devotees, and Narada being the greatest of devotees, by him coming in, then it works. Of course, Krishna being who he is can arrange it that he can't figure out how to get in, or this or that. Like, that's there. But he was happy to let him come because he's the greatest of devotees. Right? Some other, you know, let's say a Vishwamitra is coming, he might, you know, just by either someone will meet and say Vishwamitra's here, and he'll arrange and then have a more formal kind of arrangement like that. But because it's Narada, then, it, you know, just he comes in just there, because he came to see what Krishna is doing, and Krishna is happy to have him see. And so then he can just walk in and see exactly what he's doing. You know, it's not a formal arrangement. Except,
so Maharaj, generally these Brahmins who go like this, they are the very close.
They're close, so they have some reason generally to go. They wouldn't not go. Because let's say if a Brahmin wanted to meet the king for a formal thing, he probably wouldn't go in there. He would just go to the court. But he can just walk in to the court. You know, he doesn't have to stand outside and do all that kind of stuff like that. So like, but you know, but unless he's known like that, why would he go into the inner part of the palace? You know, but because he is known, then he's going. So.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Prema.